Hey guys, I'm Chris.
And I'm Mike.
And welcome back to this week's No Limits, the Mitrab Podcast. What's new this week, Mike?
Well, Chris, let me ask you a question. Capture or kill?
Kill all the way, baby.
Kill shot. Take the kill shot.
Kill shot.
Dude, what do you think of the big announcement from Don Bentley and the Vince Flynn team? Capture or kill is the title of Rap 23.
Dude, it's a cool title. It's great.
It's really cool.
I don't want to like jump to maybe the bury the lead here, but the cover, man, the cover, sexy.
It hits. It really hits.
So, capture or kill? Immediately, like without even discussing the plot details, what first comes to mind when you read those two words?
Oh, the Bin Laden mission, the raid. I mean.
Exactly.
It's clear as day. And then you put the cover with the Twin Towers or the memorial lights, the 9/11 memorial, and it's just we're going all in. This is a big swing. Would you say this is a big swing to get the green light for Don Bentley to do this?
It's crazy how I'm shocked that they're going here.
Yeah,
I am in utter shock, and hopefully he pulls it off. We'll see. I mean, based on the last book, I have full confidence in him. Don Bentley book we read and cover on this pod. I have full confidence in him. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. If you would have told me immediately that Don Bentley, he's going to take over and his first book is going to be about Mitrab trying to verify that Bin Laden is in like this compound, like
no way,
get the fuck out of here.
I would have said no way. No, that sounds like fan fiction level stuff. You know,
right.
That's like crazy bloggers and podcasters coming up with that shit, not an actual author in the canon taking over from Kyle Mills and opening up with that type of banger.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. I didn't believe it when they did the contest and the question was, you know, like what mission did Mitch Rapp play a role in 2011? I'm like, nah, I'm not taking the low-hanging fruit. There's no way you would mix up the Bin Laden stuff and too much real history. Part of me, while I know Don Bentley will kill it, like you said, we read on the Thriller podcast. So if you don't subscribe, our newest season, No Limits, the Thriller podcast, we cover a whole slew of authors. We've read all the Matt Drake books by Don Bentley, and Forgotten War puts us in Afghanistan. It puts us modern day with the withdrawal just the other year. It's riveting stuff, and it's one of the best novels we've ever read, one of the best thriller novels we've covered on the podcast. So no doubt Don Bentley can do it. But just something deep inside me, it's like that pit in your stomach. I was a little hesitant about going for the Bin Laden stuff. But what I like is we don't necessarily think it's the raid. I haven't seen anything to indicate it's the raid, but I've seen that Mitch Rapp has been tapped to verify and collect evidence that the compound in Abbottabad is the target. That's where Geronimo is. I think that's pretty cool, the whole data collection piece, like running an asset. You know, whatever you got to do, chasing down leads, maybe working with the intel and analyst people to try to verify that he's in there. I feel like that's a really smart approach as compared to just, you know, Mitch Rapp on the chopper and, you know, having him be the Robert O'Neill and take the shot. That might still happen, but something tells me it's more going to be the analyst piece. He's going to be the eyes and ears on the ground confirming suspicions.
Yeah, I'm just torn as like how if me just putting myself in Mitch Rapp's shoes, if I'm the person that figures out, that confirms that if I'm Mitch, wouldn't I want to, I would want to be the one going in there and taking the shot.
Yeah, of course. That's going to be, I don't know. Or we know Mitch, he wants to take the best tactical approach and he might know that's to let the SEALs do their thing. You know, he might know they have the skill set, the training, the mock-up in, you know, what was it, Virginia, wherever they did the mock-up, North Carolina. I feel like he almost is going to be like, let the guys take this, you know, the younger generation, the ones who are at peak, go do this. Or although this is a throwback, so it is a younger Mitch. Oh, shit. It is peak Mitch.
It is peak Mitch, dude.
Oh, man. This is Pursuit of Honor, Last Man Mitch. Shit, you're right. He would definitely want to be hands-on. I'm thinking like current day Claudia and Mitch, like Anna Mitch.
Yeah,
I feel like that's too much risk.
That kind of Mitch, I think, would say, like you're saying, let the SEALs take it. But this we got to remember, this is going to be taking place between Extreme Measures and Pursuit of Honor, right? We're going to We're gonna earn a last man in Pursuit of Honor.
Exactly. And in The Last Man, Rap is running all over Afghanistan, running amok, just chasing dudes down. So
exactly.
It's peak in, on the op, downrange Mitch. Yeah.
This is going to be very interesting, man.
It's going to be something. There is an opportunity. Like, the second I heard this, I started reading up on that doctor, because I remember there was like a vaccination campaign that the CIA got themselves in with. I think it was Save the Children or Doctors Without Borders, one of those groups. And we actually converted. We recruited a doctor who was going around doing vaccination visits for hepatitis B. And we actually got him to knock on the door of the compound. And it was a CIA ploy to see what was inside or see if we can get the children out. They actually wanted the DNA if they were able to vaccinate one of the kids, because this was a common thing at the time, that they would get the DNA from the syringe, because this doctor would turn it over to his handler. And I'm like, dude, if you can you imagine Mitch doing that kind of stuff, like running a local doctor, embedding in like a vaccination program, just some shady ass shit. And ultimately what happened was they knocked on the door, a woman in the compound chased them away, but gave him a number and said, here, talk to this guy. And the phone number she gave him was attached to the courier that we had been following, Al-Kuwaiti. And like we were able to confirm that the number of Al-Kuwaiti was linked to this compound. And like that was the final piece of evidence, or a big piece of evidence.
Okay.
Yeah, to give the green light. So I think kind of that stuff would be cool of Mitch doing too. But yeah, how do you stop him from just going ham and wanting to take the shot?
Yeah, and the other thing I was thinking about is I'm just thinking about to the movie of Zero Dark Thirty,
right,
and the run up to that mission. And you know, like is Mitch somehow involved in, you know, that failed recruitment where there was a bombing, like the one of the most deadliest days in CIA history, right?
That's right. That's right.
Where they another doctor that they thought they had converted?
Exactly.
You know, like. It's interesting. Inserting Mitch into historical fiction is going to be interesting. It's a new thing, right?
It is, yeah. Like we've had, I think it was Separation of Power. We had like Saddam Hussein's son.
Sure.
You know, in that bunker.
But that's like removed.
Exactly. It's like a very tangential touch of real history. It's not making a storyline out of real events. I don't know. I mean, I have no doubt in Don Bentley doing it. But at the same time, I just have this pit in my stomach. Like, how is that going to land? And it's not even the whole story. We didn't even bring up what I think is actually going to be the plot of this book. And the first thing mentioned in the description that we got, Ashani is back. That's why Protecting the Bend was an important book.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So he's kind of going around doing his own like thing, right? Like that's what the you want to read me the description again?
Yeah. And he's reaching out to the Americans. So it seems he's going to be our guy on the inside, you know, who wants to work with us in the Iranian regime. So yeah, here we go. April 2011, on a remote mountaintop overlooking the remains of the Iranian nuclear weapons program, Azad Ashani witnesses a Quds Force demonstration of a capability meant to upend America's war in the Middle East. Ashani, director of the Iranian Ministry of Intelligence and Security, and Irene Kennedy's former back channel to the Iranian government, recognizes the demonstration's true significance and the nation-ending conflict it will provoke. Alone, Ashani stands no chance of preventing this rush to madness, but with the help of one man, he just might. So that's the Iranian part. He's reaching out to us, reopening the back channel he established in Protect and Defend, to stop the Quds Force from whatever the heck it is they're doing. And they're at the site. Yeah, like how, they're at the site that blew up, Isfahan.
Right. So how does that come into play with Osama bin Laden?
That's what I don't know. I think that's what's giving me that pit is they seem like two very different things.
Different. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. But we have to, I guess we just got to wait and see. But
we got to wait.
I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued.
Dude, intrigue's the word. Absolutely. I'm pumped for it. It's just I don't know what to expect, which is a good thing. You want that anticipation to have that sense of discomfort. You don't know what's coming. And then when it comes, it hits you.
Yeah.
Here's the rest of that description, though. So you're right. It cuts from the Iranian plotline with Ashani and now says, in Washington, D.C., CIA Director Irene Kennedy briefs the president that the operational window to kill or capture Osama bin Laden at his recently discovered compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, is rapidly closing. But before he'll authorize a commando raid on Pakistani soil, the president demands irrefutable proof of bin Laden's presence. Proof he trusts just one man to provide. Preventing a looming war in the Middle East while delivering justice for the nearly 3,000 Americans killed on 9/11 would be a big ask for anyone. Mitch Rapp isn't just anyone. Dude.
The one thing that comes to mind, though, is I keep thinking about executive power. And you know how like we had like two books in one, you know, where there was like two divergent storylines.
Yeah.
That's the key piece. It's like whether or not you're going to be able to execute the link between the Ashani stuff and the Osama stuff, you know? Yeah. And that just has me a little bit all on pause.
I agree. I don't know how it's going to work. It's like we get the one drop, but with the help of one man, he just might be successful. Okay, so Ashani needs him for something.
Yeah,
exactly. About that. And then it says, but the president, proof he trust just trusts one man to provide. Okay, now Rapp's got these two roles to play. How do they converge? It's the big
question. Do they converge?
I don't know.
Do they need to converge? You know?
I don't know. Are the Quds Force commanders doing something that shows they're involved in Pakistan? I mean, that would be a little bit of a stretch to me. I don't, you know, running security for Abbottabad, that would be insane, but I don't know.
It's a bold choice to start your first Mitch Rapp novel with this.
It's
definitely a bold choice.
Yeah. So we got to reread these books to see what headspace Mitch was at, what things he's going to have on his mind going into this. And then I don't even remember in those books, like, was this where Marcus totally disappeared or can he play a big role, you know, back on the intel side of things? I remember Kennedy a little bit in Pursuit of Honor, but I can't really point to what she was doing. I think she was caught up in politics at that time. Like she was the director and really needed to prove herself at the political game.
Right.
Like,
it's going to be interesting to go back and see where all these characters stood and to see like how, and then to read the novel and see how Don decides to integrate them into his world and how he wants to, you know, I guess going back allows him to maybe tap a little bit more. We mentioned this in the last pod of tap a little bit more into the Vince Flynn of it all. And Osama is very Flynnian, you know, very Flynnian topic, right? Like 9/11 was a big influence for him in most of his writing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's what would have been do you think there would have been an easier way for him to start into this series? This seems like I want a challenge. I want a fucking challenge.
I think there are many different ways you could have gone, and I would have never seen this one. And I guess that's a good thing. That's an exciting thing. But it's a risky thing. Like, we were all thinking the Killshot sequel. Like, okay, that would have been another risky play, but kind of expected. I think
that's the easier risky play.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more expected. Yeah. This one's just out of left field in a good way that could really land. You know who's not mentioned? Mike Nash. Scott Coleman.
Mike is not. Scott's not mentioned.
Joe Maslick. Stan Hurley's still alive.
Yeah, that'll be weird if you like bringing back Stan. But I guess he's got to, right? I don't
know. Yeah. I remember in Pursuit of Honor, Nash and Rapp were starting to, like, he punches him out, right? Like he sidelines him from saving his family. I think he even punches him on the side of the parkway because they have a dispute over something political. You know, I think it was Glenn Adams. This
is post extreme measures.
Yeah. Post extreme measures, right. Mike is not only messed up from what he'd been through in war, he's messed up from the explosions in extreme measures.
Losing his asset.
Exactly. He lost his guy. Sean. He was undercover in the mosque. Yep. And Rapp, I remember, well, that's why he outs him, right? He gets Nash the commendation. So Nash is like a hero whose name is in the news right now. I guess you can't have him operating. He's going to start his transition to, you know, desk jockey and celebrity.
Yeah, this is the beginning. The Pursuit of Honor was the beginning of like Nash taking on the more political role.
Exactly.
And the last man, he pops up like a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But Coleman? I mean, Maz?
Claudia's not around it, right?
No, I don't know if she's mentioned when Gould comes back in The Last Man. But you remember that final stand where Gould is supposed to kill Rapp? He's got a hit on him, but instead he decides to break the contract and inform Rap and save Rap's ass. He bailed.
I'm going to miss Mitch's life. I'm going to miss Claudia and Anna. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, I think a lot of people are going to be so happy that they don't have to have them in a book, and I'm going to miss them terribly. I'm going to want them.
Yeah,
I'm going
to want it's the so older how, Mitch. It's so now after this, what does he do next? That's a big question we're going to have to ask him.
You're like, saying Don or Mitch?
Don. Like, is he going to continue this like intermediate storyline and like stick within that parameters? Cause he doesn't want to touch like the Claudia Anna stuff like that. That is what Kyle did. And that's, you know, I'm going to sort of like fill in the gaps, or is he just doing this to kind of bide his time while he thinks about, that seems like the more logical thing. It's like, I need some time. One, we need a book this year.
Correct.
So what's the easiest way I can do that while one, not pissing off the fan base, so you can't go kill shot sequel. Because if he fails on that, then everyone turns on him. So I need some time to develop my, like, what I'm gonna do, take Mitch into the future. Let me do like an intermediate prequel. And why don't we just throw in Osama bin Laden in there too? You know, for the fans. Yeah. Like, it's complete fan fiction.
It really sounds like fan fiction, yeah. I feel like this is an opportunity to create a voice while also mimicking Vince's voice, as opposed to having create your own voice as you're trying to mimic the style of Vince and trying to work off of what Kyle did, because he had his own voice in the series. So I feel like this is better in that Don can just focus on what was a Vince Flynn Mitch Rapp novel like? And how do I put my spin on that, as opposed to what is a Kyle Mills, Vince Flynn, Mitch Rapp saga voice, and how do I get into that? It's almost easier to plug in to one author's creation than a mind meld of two authors, and you have to miraculously be that third one who comes on in. You know, this kind of prevents him from being that third wheel. He is the third wheel, but this makes it feel like he's not the third wheel, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be my first question to him, is like, what was the reasoning behind doing it like this? Is it because you're biting, you know, you need a little bit more time to potentially establish your future voice, or this is just what was most interesting to you? You know, it's a good question.
Yeah. How'd you come to this? Yeah. How did you and or the team have conversations that ended up with, let's do a Bin Laden book 2011 between Pursuit of Honor and Last Man? Like, I would never in a million years come up with that. It's brilliant. It's potentially brilliant.
I would have loved to have been the fly on the wall for that conversation.
Yeah.
All right. Picture this. Mitch Rapp kills Osama bin Laden. Go. That's your book prompt.
Dude, it's wild. I would have never thought that would happen.
As soon as they said it takes place in 2011, it was the obvious play.
Yeah, but I was like, maybe it's Gaddafi, maybe it's Arab Spring. No, I never thought they'd go for it. Never.
No.
Never thought they'd go for it.
As soon as he said 2011, it had to be Osama bin Laden.
You do have to think, what was Kennedy doing during the hunt for bin Laden? Like,
oh, yeah,
everything else stops, you know? Like, once you get that intel that there are some leads we could work off of, this is the top of her pile, you know? So I hope we get to see that, you know, her really pulling the strings to make this thing happen and to do it right.
Yeah, it's interesting because Vin's never commented on this. And is that because of the sickness? You know, because when did we get The Last Man?
13, 12 or 13? November 2012.
2012.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just like, it'd be a little rushed. He had so much going on in his personal life, I feel like. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, but that same year was when we got, when did we get American Assassin?
Oh.
That was 2010, 11. Right?
That was 2010, I think, yeah.
Oh, no, that's why. Because he wrote Killshot came out in February of 2012. The Last Man came out in November of 2012.
Yeah. So busy time, so busy year.
Busy time, busy year. And then he never got a chance to comment on that.
Yeah.
because The Last Man was his last full novel. So,
well, here's Don picking up that torch.
Yeah.
He's going to give us that commentary.
That's exciting.
One more thing before we wrap up that really, really makes me feel good about Don Bentley. He wrote a letter. Let me see if I can find it. I think it was one of his emails. And it was basically just this very real, I'm going to tell the fans like where I'm coming from. You know? Yeah, here it is. An overwhelming sense of gratitude. My wife, my kids, Teddy, the puppy. But listen to what he says here. And this is like exactly why he's the right guy. It's still hard for me to believe that I get to tell stories in the world Vince created. I'm eternally grateful to Vince Flynn for creating the iconic character we love and for telling the stories we desperately needed to hear. Vince, I hope this book makes you proud. What a
that's
guy.
Great.
You're like, what a guy. To pen that letter to the fans and tell them, like, I know what's ahead of me, and like I know I have to make Vince proud, and I know I'm working with his baby, you know. Don gets it. Don really gets it.
And after reading
Forgotten War, yeah,
I feel calmed. I feel comfortable. Like I'm excited, you know?
Yeah. Oh, here's the quote. Sorry. I'm reading that letter further. Friends, this book is my love letter to the universe Vince created and the characters he populated it with.
Oh, yeah. I read that.
Dude.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
No, it's exciting, man. It's exciting. Next chapter. Big things on the Mitrap pod, man. So next time we're on this pod, maybe what will we be covering? Pursuit of Honor?
I guess we're going to come back here with Pursuit of Honor, probably within the next week or two. And Last Man after that. We're already in April by then, so just another couple months maybe before we hear from Don Bentley himself and copies of the book start cropping up through the Ambassador Program. Maybe there will be some ambassador announcements that we'll bring to you, but we're going to cover some good old Vince Flynn books. Take us back to the time of 2011, what was going on in Kennedy's life, Mitrap's life, and the Vince Flynn universe.
Yeah, it was fun to go back and read that last one that we did. It's always nice to tap into the Mitrap pod, reground ourselves, you know, Mike. We're going off on all these tendrils and come back to what originally brought us together. So
exactly, nice. Exactly. Pursuit of Honor will be fun. I'm halfway through it, so I'll be ready to go pretty soon. I am enjoying it. Again, not my favorite, but
okay.
I'm enjoying it thinking, like, where are things out?
Did you like Protect and Defend better than Pursuit of Honor?
I liked Protect and Defend way better than the first time we read it and infinitely better than Pursuit of Honor. I'll put it this way.
Okay.
Rereading Protect and Defend made me want to bump it up the list like 5-10 spots almost. Maybe.
It did.
Reading Pursuit of Honor makes me want to say, nah, this is still the worst one, but I'm enjoying it more.
is it better or worse than Executive Power?
I think worse. I think I ranked it lower.
Yeah, you did. I didn't, but you did.
I'd have to read Executive Power again, to be honest, but I'm pretty sure Pursuit of Honor is going to be hanging out down there. One of our patrons, Mike, shout out to Mike. He said it makes his top five, Pursuit of Honor. So we'll have to pick his brain and see if he can convince us on this one. He might have something going for him. We'll have to hear his argument.
Yeah, no, we're supposed to, we're not supposed to, we are talking to our patrons tonight about The Peacock and the Sparrow, but if Sherry will let us, maybe we can ask that question real quick.
We'll get people's temperature. We'll take the pulse of the group on Capture or Kill and Pursuit of Honor.
Yeah,
sure. That'll be exciting. I really want to see if other people have a similar reaction to us or any different takes. I love hearing different people's perspectives on it.
Yeah, it's exciting. Thank you. Please subscribe, rate, and review using your favorite podcasting platform. You can find us online at thrillerpod.com or on Twitter and Instagram at thrillerpodcast. And as always, just let Mitch be Mitch.
A little postscript. In that letter from Don Bentley, the one to the fans where he said it's his love letter to the universe Vince created, he says, if you're like me, a Mitrap superfan, I hope you'll enjoy journeying back in 2011 to answer the question I've wrestled with for the last 13 years. What was Mitrap doing during the raid to capture or kill Osama bin Laden? This shit's been on his mind. He's been stewing with this one. 13 years he's been thinking about it.
My question is, what was Irene Kennedy doing during that mission?
That's right. Yeah. What was Irene doing? Oh, man. She was in that room. Imagine Irene would have been in that photo where Obama and Hillary Clinton and all them are in the room. Right. That would have been Irene Kennedy up there. Dude.
Who's the fictional president during this time? Is it Alexander?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, because we just had the transition in act of treason.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah. Don says one other thing that's really good. He compares it to Top Gun Maverick. He was so nervous, excited for a new movie, but has the jitters of like, what if they ruin it? You know, how many times has a sequel ruined a classic movie? He's like, what if they blow it? And then he loved Top Gun Maverick, like it blew him away. So I think that's the model of you can take something, make it different, not necessarily better. No one has to argue if it's better or different. Worse, but make it different and make it good. Make it really good that it stands on its own. And so if Capture or Kill is anything like a Top Gun Maverick, damn, Don Bentley, here to stay.
Sign me up.
Sign me up. Give the man the contract. 3-book deal. Let's go.
3 books. Let's do it, man.